It's just a wee word of prayer. We commit our time to the Lord. Our eternal God and our Father, we come into thy presence this evening, and then through that precious and all-worthy name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, we thank thee tonight for the one who loved us, the one who on the cross died to save us from our sin. And Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight you'll come, presence thyself with us in a most real and particular way tonight. Heavenly Father, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, we pray. Lord, may this be a night of blessing. Lord, most of all, may it be a night of salvation. And Lord, as some sinner would cry unto thee for mercy. Answer prayer, be with us now. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is one we sang on Friday night at youth, and I thought we would sing it tonight. There is a song in my heart today, something I never had. Oh, say, but I'm glad. You'll know it, I'm sure. Now, we did actions to it on Friday night, but I don't think we'll do the actions tonight. All right? So we'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn together. Thank you. Amen. Let's unite our hearts together, please, in another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight, and Lord, we thank thee that we are glad tonight. We thank the Lord for the privilege that is ours to come into thy holy presence. Lord, how we rejoice tonight that we have this access to thee in prayer. We thank the Lord tonight that thou art our Savior. We praise thee, Lord, tonight that thou art our Redeemer. We rejoice, O God, tonight in the wonderful salvation that you have accomplished and attained for us there at the place called Calvary. Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight for the old rugged cross. We thank thee, Lord, tonight for that place where the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood and paid the price for our sin. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that there redemption's plan has been complete. We thank thee, Lord, tonight that we need no other argument. And praise God, we need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that tonight, as we, Lord, would worship thee, Lord, that you'll give us that desire to worship thee aright. Lord, we realize we need thy help to worship thee as we should. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd be pleased to come and speak with us tonight, we pray. Pour out your Spirit upon us in a most real and a most remarkable way. Heavenly Father, we pray that this night, Lord, that business will be done in every heart. Business will be done in every life. Business, Lord, that will transcend all of eternity. Heavenly Father, speak. Speak to, Lord, those who are in the meeting tonight. Speak to those who are out of Christ, Lord, online. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray, speak tonight. Speak far beyond the voice of this preacher. Speak, O God, with that voice that wakes the dead. Bless our hearts tonight, we pray. We pray, Lord, for Raymond and for Mark as they minister to us. We thank the Lord for them. And Lord, we pray that you'll encourage them. And may they know great help even this evening as they would come and be a part of our worship tonight, we pray. Do our hearts good, we pray. Lift us heavenward, Lord, tonight, we pray. But most of all, we pray that this will be a night when business will be done and souls will be saved. And Lord, sinners taken out of the darkness of their sin and brought into the light and the liberty of the gospel of saving grace. Do this, O God, we pray, for thy name and for thy great honor alone. Amen. Amen. We're delighted to welcome Raymond and Mark back with us. It's always a pleasure to have you, and we always look forward to having you. And we want to thank you again for coming tonight and for being a part of our service. We're going to ask you to come at this stage and take part now. The Lord bless you both.
It's nice to be back and nice to be invited back again.
Well, Raymond and Mark, thank you so much. That was certainly enjoyed. Hard to beat the accordion and the piano together and those good gospel hymns. Thank you so much for that. We'll hear from them in a little second or two as well. And Mark's going to sing, I think. Well, that's the plan. So we're looking forward to that as well tonight. I'll ask you please to turn with me in the Word of God this evening to the book of 1 Thessalonians. The New Testament and the book of 1 Thessalonians, the chapter 1. Just want to read some verses together at the end of this chapter. Bring some announcements and then we'll ask Raymond and Mark to come back. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse number 5. First Thessalonians 1 verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. So then ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Amen. We'll end there at verse 10. May pray the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our hearts. At this stage, we welcome you all along tonight. We want to thank you for coming. It's good to see you again. The church filled, and we thank you for being with us this evening. Pray the Lord will bless you all, and pray the Lord will speak to all of our hearts. Also to those who are watching online, we welcome you this evening, wherever you are joining with us. Just very quickly go through the announcements for the week ahead in the will of the Lord. Tuesday night, we have our special time of prayer on Zoom, and that will be for our upcoming gospel mission. That's Tuesday night, 8 o'clock on Zoom, and we will send you out the details before just 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. Thursday night, then, we'll meet here in the church for our midweek Bible study and prayer meeting, and we continue looking at Psalm number 23. And then after the Bible study on Thursday night, we'll also meet around the table of the Lord. Then on Friday night, we'll meet here in the church for the outreach. We said this morning, we have 10,000 of these little invites and leaflets to distribute around the community. And so we want to get them out, if possible, all on Friday night. I know that's a big ask, but you've done it before, and it's not a problem to you. So the more we have to help on Friday night, then the more ground we'll be able to get covered. So we'll meet here in the church, come for 6:45, and there'll be plenty of these leaflets to give out. It's only a leaflet drop, just putting them through the letterboxes. We're not knocking doors, just simply putting them through the letterbox, and so you'll not be asked to do anything, just simply be a postman for the night. And if you can help us, we certainly would appreciate that, please. Next Lord's Day, 10:15, Sunday school, Bible class, and 11:30, the morning worship service, 2:30, the afternoon Sunday school in Hollywood, and then 6:30 is our gospel service. And God willing, our brother Jamie Williamson will be here to sing next Sunday night. The Missionary Council offering, along with the Nepal offering, came to £610 last week. We want to thank you for your giving to the missionary work of the church. Vision magazines are available, the bi-monthly magazine of our church. They're free. You take them with you, and if you want to take more with you, feel free to do that as well. And also, there are these leaflets available tonight if you want to take them and use them as a means of inviting some of your family, maybe your work colleagues that you'll meet during the week. Use this little invite as a means of just putting the gospel into their hand and a way of inviting them along to these gospel meetings. Thursday, the 27th of May at 8 o'clock, Pastor Dennis Lyle will be the speaker. Friday, the 28th of May at 8 o'clock, our brother John Weir will be along to tell of his testimony and tell how he came to the Lord. And then on Sunday, the 30th of May, the Reverend William McCrae will be here to sing and to preach at both meetings, 11:30 and 6:30. This is a very short gospel campaign. I think in my short little history and my life, it's the shortest gospel mission I've ever known. But that's because of all the restrictions that are under us at the moment. We can't have drive-ins. We don't have anywhere to drive into. And I don't think you would get in through the front door of the church with your car. So we can't have drive-ins, and we have tried to get places, but unfortunately not too many are willing to give us car parks and whatever around here. So this is what we're going to do for these four meetings. We want you to get behind it, support them, and do all you can to get people into the gospel weekend of meetings. Do continue to remember all those who need our prayers. Remember especially our brother Sammy Lewis. Pray that the Lord will just touch Sammy at this time. We're thankful for the Lord, his hand upon Sammy over this past week. He was very ill on Monday and Tuesday, and the doctors really didn't give very much hope, but the Lord intervened and the Lord had another plan. And so we're thankful for the Lord's hand upon Sammy. Do continue to remember he and Irene and all those others that we mentioned today as well in your prayers. No offerings being taken up, as you'll know, but the boxes are there and you can put your offerings and tithes in as you leave. Raymond and Mark, we're glad again to welcome you and have you, and we're going to ask you to come and take part again now. The Lord bless you. Raymond and Mark, thank you so much for being with us this evening. We've certainly been blessed by your ministry, Mark. Thank you for singing for us as well. And praise God, tonight Calvary still covers it all. Your sin, your past, it'll all be covered at that place called Calvary. Thank you. The Lord continue to bless you. And we pray the Lord will keep his hand upon you and use you in the days that lie ahead. I want this evening to turn your attention, please, back to that passage of Scripture that we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And there is a phrase just at that end of verse 10 that I want us to consider. As we said this morning, we are going to look at the subject, ask the question, whatever happened to hell? Whatever happened to hell? And at the end of verse 10, it talks about the wrath to come. The wrath to come. Can I, if you can, ask you please just to stand with me, please, for a word of prayer, just to change your position as we come to the preaching of His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for Thy presence with us. Lord, we thank Thee that You have been amongst us tonight. We thank the Lord for help given to Raymond and to Mark as they've ministered to us. And Heavenly Father, we pray that You'll continue to use them and bless them in their own lives individually. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight for that great truth that Calvary does cover it all. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that as we come now to the preaching, oh God, we pray that You'll be pleased to take the feeble, stammering, stuttering words of man, use them to Thine honor and to Thy glory. And Lord, tonight speak. Speak, Lord, to those in this meeting out of Christ. Lord, speak tonight to those who are watching online, still far from Thee. Lord, speak, we pray. And as we deal with this subject tonight, give us help. O God, we pray, come upon us and come amongst us and pour out Your Spirit upon us. In the Savior's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The evangelist, writer, and Christian author John Blanchard, who actually just passed away on Friday past, wrote quite a number of books throughout his lifetime. One of those books that he wrote had the title, Whatever Happened to Hell? And so I claim no originality for this sermon title tonight. John Blanchard wrote that book, which was published almost 20 years ago now, because of what he saw as a decline amongst evangelical preachers of any mention or any preaching on the doctrine of God's wrath and the reality of hell. He says that while the truth about hell has been sidelined, most certainly by the ungodly, yet many of those who profess and call themselves Christians have retreated from the faith that was once and for all delivered by the saints, and the pulpit has been as badly affected as the pew. Now, if that was true 20 years ago, how much truer it is today. And I must be honest with you tonight, because I fear that in 2021, the subject and the teaching on hell is sadly absent from many of our pulpits. And we don't have to go tonight to the apostasy or to the ecumenical movement, because it seems that theological discourses and debates are more the topic, particularly for Sunday evenings in churches. It seems that preachers are trying to reinvent the wheel by winning over the lost by their great knowledge of doctrine, seeking to win arguments. Now, trust me, that has a place. But I fear that in doing so, we've softened our tone, we have missed the mark, and we have failed in our Christian duty to warn. Whatever happened to hell in our preaching?
And sadly tonight, as the pulpits have fallen silent on hell, sinners are still falling into hell. And souls are still being lost, dying, and perishing in hell as the church sidelines and silence the truth about hell. Hell seems to have fallen on hard times, yet hell is still in the Bible. Hell is still real, and it is my intention this evening to look at this subject and see why we must never be silent on hell, whether it is popular or whether it isn't. I want us to see, first of all, here the reality of hell. Paul, writing in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10, talks about the wrath to come. The wrath to come. You see, hell tonight in the thoughts of many people simply exists here on earth. You've heard the expression, a living hell. For many people tonight, they believe a bad experience, a difficult time, that is hell for them. Many others will use expressions to denote this, and they will say that life here in this world, that is hell. Joel Osteen, and you will know I'm no fan of Joel Osteen, wrote a book, and he says, live your best life now. And you see tonight, for the ungodly and for the unsaved, this is your best life. Right now, dear sinner, you are living your best life. Because if you live in your sin and you die in your sin, you will go out into that wrath to come in the place called hell. Hell is real. Hell is literal. Hell is actual. The Lord Jesus Christ, speaking in Matthew 25 and the verse 46, he says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment. And Paul here in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 10 speaks about fleeing from the wrath to come. It speaks about the reality of hell. The reality of God's wrath being poured out on all those who refuse and reject the way of the cross and the way of Christ. Oh, many laugh tonight about hell. Many scorn the very mention of hell. That's the natural instinct because it doesn't fit in with man's thinking. Even those who claim to love Jesus and go the Jesus way, they reject the very thought of eternal punishment in hell because it's unpopular, it's unnatural, and yet you mark the teachings of Christ himself. And you read about what Christ said in his earthly ministry. And he spoke far more about hell than he ever did about heaven. The most popular word, Greek word for hell in the Bible is the word Gehenna. It's used 12 times in the New Testament, and 11 of those 12 times it was used by Christ himself. You see, hell is real tonight because God, the Almighty God, the Creator God, will hold every single individual accountable for our lives. And the rejection of hell tonight is that you don't want to be held to account. You believe your own boss, you'll live your life your way, and nobody will tell you what to do. But the reality is tonight that one day every knee will bow before the Lord and acknowledge Him as Lord. Every infidel in this world, every atheist, every agnostic, every Muslim, every Hindu, every one of every faith you care to mention will one day bow the knee before God. And determined on how you respond to the gospel will be where you will be in eternity. Because you will be held to account. Many, even in our own province, have escaped the justice of this nation, this province. They will never escape the justice of God. And as you stand before the Lord on that great judgment day, if you're saved, you'll be glorified in heaven. But if you're unsaved, you will be damned in hell. Hell is real, just as heaven is real. That brings us then to the reason for hell. Because this is important to understand. Why is there a hell? Why has a loving Savior, the Savior who is full of mercy, the Savior who is full of grace, why has He prepared a place called hell? It's important to understand this. Well, He has prepared a place called hell, first of all, because of the nature of God. There is a hell tonight because of the nature of God. And you see, this is where people get it wrong. People in general have such a low view of God, low view of sin. And they think God is some individual who wouldn't do anything to anybody. If He even exists in the minds of those who do believe in God, will He not do anything to me? But the problem is tonight people don't realize and know who God is. They don't know that God is God, God is holy, God is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Oh, sinner, tonight, if only you saw the holiness of God. If you would see how wretched your sin is in the sight of a holy God. You judge sin by your own standards, don't you? You do what is right in your own eyes. That's what this world is doing. That's what this society is doing. That's what thousands in this city are doing, living life their way. And they do not see the holy, pure nature of God. People say, my life is not bad enough. My sin is not bad enough. Do you know what the Bible tells me? The Bible tells me that God is angry with the wicked every day. God is angry with the wicked every day because He hates sin. The reason for hell, because of the nature of God, but also because of the necessity of punishment. The very basic foundation of our whole judicial system and moral system is that if a law is broken, there's punishment. We accept it now, folks, we don't like it. If we break the law, we will be punished. And maybe you're all very good law abiders, but if you break the law, you'll be punished. You know my thoughts on that, particularly when it comes to the subject of driving. And those old points and those letters that you get through the door. Well, I can't go to them and say, well, I didn't break any law. And I didn't know what the speed limit was. Although, mind you, sometimes ignorance of the law, we're told, is... Anyway, we better not go there. But if I break the law, the written law of the land, I will get punished, and I have been punished. You bring that into the realm of God. Why would a holy God turn His back on sinners who have broken His law and defied His name? Who have turned away from His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would that sin go unpunished? The existence of hell tonight shows us, teaches us, that God punishes sin. He doesn't alter or amend His justice. You dear unsaved in this meeting tonight,
You stand before God on that judgment day, having lived your life without Him, having believed you can get on without Him, and then for that final time being brought face to face with the fact that God is a holy God, that God is a God of justice, you will wish that God could amend or alter His justice and change His mind, but God must punish sin. The very existence of hell is proof of the inflexible nature of God's justice. But you say, is God not a God of love? He most certainly is. But He's a God of holiness and a God of purity, and He loves holiness. God loves purity, and when He finds it, He loves it, but He hates sin, and when He finds it, He punishes that. And therefore, His justice will go after sin, and His holiness and His justice and His wrath then will be meted out on the sinner. The reality of hell, the reason for hell, because of the nature of God and the necessity of punishment. But let's bring it now into the practical realm. Let's look at the residence of hell. Over in Revelation 21 in the verse 8, we have those who are the residents of hell. Revelation 21 in the verse 8, it says, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." A whole host, a whole range of different people. But notice who's at the top of the list. It's not the murderers. It's not the idolaters, it's the fearful and the unbelieving. The fearful and the unbelieving. And I would suggest to you tonight that these two group of people make up the vast majority of the residents of hell. Those who thought on this earth, oh, they weren't really all that bad. People who wouldn't class themselves even as sinners. These are the upright sinners. These are the all right, the way I am sinner. These are the sinners who say, I don't need your message rammed down my throat. These are the sinners who say, I don't do any harm to anybody. It'll all work out in the end type of people. You don't worry about me, I'll be all right. The unbelieving. Is that you tonight? Unbelieving. You don't believe tonight your sin is bad enough for God to punish you in hell. Well, tonight hell is full of such people who believed they were all right without Christ and without His gospel. Fearful and the unbelieving. Maybe you're fearful tonight. Fearful of what would happen if you were to get saved. Fearful of things that might have to change in your life. Fearful. Thing is, you fear man more than you fear God. The problem is tonight, if you die in your sin, you will join all these other residents of hell. Those people that you would have nothing to do with on this earth. Those people that you would scoff at. And yet you will join them in hell. If you go there having rejected the same Christ that they rejected. Hell is full, yes, of wicked, sinful people.
But hell is also full of moral, upright people.
Hell is full of people who sit in a church on a Sunday. Hell is full of people, oh, those who think religion will be enough to save them. Hell will be full of those who think that they coming in through the doors of a church will be sufficient. The residents of hell, what a group. But at the very top of it is the fearful and the unbelieving. Is that you tonight? Will you not trust the gospel of Jesus Christ? Will you not, as we'll come to in a moment, come to, as Mark was singing for us, to that place called Calvary tonight, and realize how heinous, how horrible your sin is, that it took the Christ, the Son of God, to go to a cross, to suffer pain, that your sin might be atoned for and covered. There's the reality of hell, the reason for hell, the residents of hell. But notice something more. I want you to see the retribution in hell. The retribution in hell. You see, tonight there is such a thing in the mind of an eternal God as retribution. What's that? It's punishment. Punishment. Don't think tonight you can sin. Live in sin all your life and God will turn a blind eye to it. Hell is exactly that. It is punishment. It is retributive justice. It is you paying for your crime of sin. There are many ways we could look at this, but I would just want to suggest some ways as we close tonight. How is this punishment meted out? First of all, it's meted out by way of separation. I quoted the verse in Matthew 25 and verse 46. And the Lord said, "These shall all go away." Go away. You see, hell is a place of parting. Hell is a place of separation. You see, tonight in this meeting, sinner, saint sit side by side. In this meeting tonight, the saved and the unsaved sit in the same pew perhaps, share the same meeting, or in the same building, sing the same songs. But there will come a time when there will be a time of separation. And you will be separated from your family and you'll be separated from your friends and away from your loved ones, but most especially, separated from God. It's a place of separation. That's part of the punishment of hell. It's a place as well of excruciation. Hell is a place of excruciating agony. Hell is a place of unimaginable pain and sorrow. Those terms that are used to describe hell, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. This I know is not popular to say, but listen tonight, hell's flames are real. The flames of hell burn tonight as they've always burned. Sinners are lost tonight in an eternal fire. A place of torments. A place of weeping and a place of wailing. As I prepared for this message, I couldn't help but get over the thought of the noise that there must be in hell. You go out onto the streets of Ballyhackamore tonight, everybody's going everywhere, doing everything. There's noise. No thought about their soul. What a noise there must be in hell tonight. As the wrath of God is poured out.
as the fearful, the unbelieving, and so on are damned in hell. And those wheels made it all the more worse because hell is a place of blackness and darkness. It's a place of separation. It's a place of excruciation. It's a place of recollection. Sinner, in hell you'll remember every time you rejected the gospel. You'll remember this gospel sermon not because it was any great sermon, not at all. But you'll remember the time you were warned. You'll remember the time that somebody spoke to you about getting right with Christ. You'll remember the time that somebody handed you a gospel leaflet and said, "Would you not consider your soul? Would you not get saved?" You'll remember it all. And like the rich man we read of in Luke 16, you'll wish, for no one else to come to this place either. Listen, there's no one in hell tonight who wants anyone else to go there. There's no one in hell tonight saying, "This is a great party. Come on, we're having a great time." No, they're wailing and they're weeping. And if they could tonight, they would plead with your soul, run, flee from the wrath to come. It's a place of continuation. Eternal joy and bliss in heaven, but eternal damnation and agony in hell. It's forever and forever and forever. Forever. You know, tonight, if you thought that just for a moment, in some matter of thousands of years, I could get out of this place, it would make it just a little bit more bearable. But there is no escape. You've heard the saying, there are many ways to hell. There's not one way out of it. In Greek mythology, there is an account called Abaddon. It's named after one of the angels of hell named in the book of Revelation. But it depicts a journey. And this individual is on this journey and he comes to this place called hell and he sees an inscription written over it. He goes a little closer to see what exactly it says. And written over the entrance to that place and that Greek myth, although it's obviously real, it's this inscription: "Abandon all hope, all ye who enter. Because you enter hell, you abandon hope. No hope of the gospel now. No hope of ever getting out. No hope of heaven. In hell, you abandon hope." Tell me, is that where you want to spend eternity? Is that where you want to live forever and forever and forever? But finally, we close tonight. The reality, the reason, the residence, the retribution, but finally, the redemption. The redemption from hell. In hell you abandon hope, but thank God tonight, while you have breath, you have hope. You have hope of a redemption from hell. Because as we close tonight, I want us to bring our thoughts away from this place called hell. And I want us to come away from the horrors of hell and come now to the horrors of Calvary. And I want us to come there to that place that Mark was singing about. And I want us to see there are three crosses, and on that middle cross, I want you to see one who is in agony, who is in pain, who is in suffering, one who is beaten and bruised. And I want you to hear the cries from that middle tree tonight, that mercy tree, as that one who hangs on the cross cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hear the cries tonight from the cross, I thirst. Hear the calls tonight of the Savior to the Father, Father, forgive them. And you know, as Christ calls on the Father there from the cross, for the first time in all eternity, there's silence from the Father. Why? Because the Son had to be forsaken on the cross. Christ had to suffer on the cross. He had to die guilty. He had to die the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. His blood had to be shed in order to redeem you and me from sin. And tonight, because of Calvary, there is hope. There's real hope tonight. There's true hope tonight. Because of Calvary tonight, there is hope of redemption from hell. Yes, God will punish sin. He always punishes sin. But there on that cross, on that middle tree, God punished sin in His Son for all who would believe on Him. But you reject Christ, you reject the gospel, then in hell God will punish you for your sin in your own body. But tonight there is hope, tonight there is good news. And tonight you don't have to go to hell. Because Christ endured the horrors and the agonies of hell that you might escape from it. And tonight there is forgiveness with God. He will forgive you. He will pardon you. He will remove your sin. He will guarantee you a place tonight in His heaven if you will but come. I wonder tonight, what will you do with Christ? Do you know, as we hold these special gospel meetings in a few weeks' time, we're not doing it just for the sake of holding meetings. We're going to go out on Friday night, and I trust you'll be able to join with us. But when we go out, we're not just doing it for the sake of doing something. We're going out because we have a message. And boy, does this city need to hear tonight the message of hope that there is in Christ. Whatever happened to hell? Nothing. Nothing. Hell is still real. Hell is still hot. But tonight you don't have to go there. Because Christ died. Christ took your hell on the cross that you would never go there. Christ was separated from the Father that you would never be separated from the Father. Oh, the flames of hell tonight still burn. And the cries from hell still go out, but praise God tonight, the invitation from the gospel still goes out to repent. Repent and believe the gospel. Whatever happened to hell? Dear unsaved in this meeting tonight, don't live your life in sin. Die in sin and realize when it's too late that nothing happened to hell.
This might be the last time. The last time you'll ever hear the gospel. And I plead with you tonight, come to Christ. Hell will be too long for you to be wrong. Life is short. And death is sure. Sin's the cause. But praise God tonight, Christ is still the cure. And tonight we in love and mercy warn you, plead with you, run to Christ. The 12th of December 1984, the N25 motorway in Godstone in Surrey, just a few miles south of London, very suddenly dense fog shrouded that whole motorway. Very quickly, the traffic technicians realized what was happening and they put the hazard lights on the motorway to warn the drivers of the thick fog that had just come down. But the drivers just ignored the warning and they drove on. A short time later, a large lorry was involved in an accident on the M25. And within minutes, that whole motorway was engulfed in total carnage. A police car quickly came on the scene and realizing what was happening and trying to do what they could, they got out of their car as quick as they could and they started running up the motorway to try to wave people down, to try to stop them and try to warn them that there was danger ahead. But it seemed that the drivers just wanted to go on. The account of that December morning relates that even those police officers were so concerned that they started lifting traffic cones and throwing them at the cars to try to get them to stop. But they drove on. And with tears streaming down the eyes of one of those policemen in particular, he tried in vain to warn the motorists. And the traffic report came back that as they ran up the motorway trying to warn them, they could hear in the background the sound of screeching brakes and cars colliding and crashing into each other just down the road a little. 30 vehicles were involved in that. It was at that time one of the worst traffic accidents on the M25. 10 people lost their lives. 10 people who set out that morning, perhaps to go to work, perhaps to go about their own daily tasks. But their life was over. They were warned, but they went on. Oh, sinner, tonight, flee from the wrath to come. Run to Christ tonight. And do it now. Let's bow in prayer. And as we close the meeting tonight, and we won't take time to sing a closing hymn, but a sinner tonight, I want you to do something. I want you to be honest like you've never been honest before. I want you to realize tonight that you're in danger. You're on the wrong way. You need to turn. You need to run to Christ tonight. As I've often said, what an awful thing it would be to go from a church pew to the flames of hell. But tonight, be wise, be warned, run to Christ, come to Jesus Christ tonight. He'll save you. He'll forgive your sin. He'll do it now. You want to speak to us, then do that. But even in the seat where you are, you can call unto the Lord, Father, forgive me. Save my soul. And he will. Meeting will be over now in moments' time. But if you have a concern and you want to speak, by all means do that. Tonight, flee from the wrath to come. Eternal God and our Father, we pray that you will be pleased to bless thy word and speak. Speak on, O God, we pray. As the voice, Lord, of this preacher now falls silent, we pray, O God, for that still small voice of God. Convict of sin. Bring the lost to thyself. And Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you'll snatch sinners as a brand from the burning flames of hell. See if someone in this meeting, someone perhaps watching online, save them tonight, ere it be too late. Part us now with the fear of God, the blessing of God. Take our thanks, Lord, for thy presence with us. And go with us. And keep us in the Spirit, O God, we pray. In the Savior's name we ask. Amen.